Hello, and welcome to What's Brewing, CISFA? What's Brewing, CISFA is a podcast produced for the California Community College's Student Financial Aid Administrators Association. I'm your host, Dennis Schrader. I serve as the 2020-2021 CISFA president.
And I'm Dana Yarbrough, Dennis's fellow employee at Los Angeles Mission College.
What's Brewing, CISFA hopes to inform and entertain you 30 minutes at a time.
So let's start the show. And welcome to another episode of What's Brewing, CISFA. Let's start this show with our first cup.
All right, Dana. Filled up your cup, I hope.
It's ready to go, man.
I hope so. It's going to be an interesting show, right?
Yeah, it is.
One way or the other, you know? I mean, it's the end of the week. It's the end of that first week.
Thank God. We made it. Uh-huh. First week back.
You know, probably like most campuses now, there's so many of us now that do this little mini session in January. You know, 5 weeks, 6 weeks at some schools. And so most of us are kind of in that weird middle ground. Now, some campuses may have their spring semesters, but most of the time they don't start right away, so they may not be right back into the swing of things. But it's an interesting time. This was our first week of our winter, and luckily our enrollment was looking pretty good. How's it been as far as for you, the busyness of it all?
It did pick up a little bit in the middle of the week. Mm-hmm. But it's pretty steady, you know. And then, because you got to use the first couple of days to catch up on emails because, I was on vacay.
That's right. Like many people and myself. Uh-huh.
So, got to catch up with the emails and, do your responses and, check up on anything that, may have been left over from the, previous year. But I would say the foot traffic or at least for me. Picked up maybe midweek for me.
The virtual foot traffic.
And the virtual foot traffic, yes.
Yeah, it's interesting, still being under this whole pandemic, kind of working from home and our students taking all their classes online. It was an interesting thing. I was, side shoot of this, I was on a meeting yesterday with all the financial aid directors within the district. And some of them oversee their veterans services on their campuses. And apparently some of these asynchronous classes, these are the ones that aren't with set times, can mess with a veteran's educational benefits because there's some rules. There's some rules to that. And so there's some problems with when the classes are being ran as asynchronous but aren't always put forth as such. And so it's like one of these things that they can lose like up to 50% of their benefits if they're doing all these asynchronous classes. So now it's about how do you properly counsel, your veteran students so that they make sure they don't sign up for the classes that are whenever they sign up for the synchronous classes, which are like the one that will say we meet Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Yes.
8 a.m. to 10 p.m. or 8 a.m. to 10 a.m., and then it has a schedule. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I guess one of those interesting things that you don't find out till you're kind of deep into it sometimes.
Yeah, and that can be the sucky part, right? Mm-hmm. Like you said, oh man. So it's good to know.
Yeah. So, as we continue to deal with this, I know probably one of those questions out there is, we get asked this once in a while from staff. I get asked this once in a while from friends with students at other colleges is, when are we going back to campus? this probably is probably more of a clarion call from my friends who have kids going, young adults. Well, not really. They're still paying for them, so not really, barely adults. their children are going to private colleges and universities.
Okay.
And so I have a friend who has oldest is going to LMU out here in LA. And so he was gonna, live on campus, go full time, all that good stuff. And when all this hit, he's working, doing it from home, of course.
Okay.
But the question does come up, you know, he likes to ask me, you know, how the things are trending, because, you know, you're paying a significant amount of money for tuition.
Right. Right. Yes. How,
you know, do
yes.
it one semester, which at the time back in the summer probably felt like, okay, we have to do what we have to do for the fall. But then, you know, as it fall kept rolling on, we're going to have to do it for spring. Yes, it looks like we're doing it for spring. But now the question is, well, if this is still going to continue on, am I going to pay another $40 or $50 or more $1,000 for tuition?
Yeah,
for my kid to be taking classes all online and losing what is in essence a lot of the college experience. Yes. I mean, you lose the social aspects. On the, let's say there's two social aspects. The socializing on campus with your fellow students and professors versus the socializing after hours and weekends, which is lost at this point too. But the part about the they lose out on is that whole campus thing. Again, it's one thing when, you know, you can run into a professor or stop by their office or meet students in the cafeteria or out on the quad and just do that general get to know other people.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, because and this is part of my personality is like you're saying, you lose those connections, you know, and kind of miss out on the opportunity in building some of those relationships. I mean, you could do it, you know, in the virtual world, but I mean, nothing beats, well, in my opinion, nothing beats, you know, one-on-one interaction, you know?
Absolutely. And, you know, we've been on different campuses ourselves and different universities and community colleges working and such. But yeah, I feel for them. And I also feel, of course, for our own students at our community colleges, because yes, we're commuter schools. Yes, we are schools with students who are 18 to 80 years old. And we have a wide variety of students. Non-traditional is probably the key word they use a lot. But still, that doesn't take away from the value of having students on campus. Again, the interactions with professors, the ability to go to events. I feel for our poor guy down in ASO, right? He's the ASO and student activity coordinator. How do you pull, you know, now some campuses have probably figured it out, but they may have a much more active body of students. But how do you get students involved in clubs and activities and student government? You know, you lose out on the field trips, go to the state capitol, or I know some, I think it was once a year they would go to some of the HBCUs. They had like a, I forgot if it was a bus trip or something, but it was, you know, a trip to see other colleges. And most of those HBCUs are East Coast. So you definitely get to see a whole different vibe to campuses. Those are historically Black colleges and universities who are non financial aid or non higher ed people. So the HBCUs are schools like in mostly East Coast. I'm trying to think like Spelman,
Howard. Yeah, Spelman.
So there's, and again, taking students to see something outside of California alone is valuable. You know, so that, is, you know, some opportunities lost because you can't travel and you don't have the students on campus. And a cafeteria, you know, our cafeteria was never super full, but it still always had students in it.
Yeah.
And again, it's, you know, it's lost opportunity.
I was just going to say that, Dennis. Yeah. It's, you know, the opportunity to run into, like you said, that instructor or that student and again, have meaningful conversation and connections. And yeah, absolutely agree.
So yeah, as far as, you know, going back to the initial question out there, when are we going back? Who knows? We still don't know. You know, I mean, at this
not
point,
really,
at this point, we're for spring, still in the virtual world. Many of our colleagues are the same. Now, some may be bringing back some classes and all, but I don't know if the spiking of cases, COVID cases over the holidays and all will change some schools in our area. Again, because it definitely varies state by state. But California is just highly more, I should say, is more effective, you know, because we're, we have denser population and a variety of other circumstances that lead to why we're spiking worse than others sometimes. So hopefully maybe by summer, you know, I mean, I'm sure that's a hope for many people.
Yeah, fall. That was, I believe in the last communication, the chancellor did mention summer, but like you're saying, because of all the spikes going on right now, who knows?
Yeah, because I'm sure as much as our students are tired of this, and unfortunately mm-hmm. some of them are not just tired of it, but not coming back, you know, or taking their time off. I'm tired of this too. You know, I'm tired of the working from home.
Yeah,
I know, boohoo me, but you know, boohoo all of us on this and in that. Yes, we. It really changes how you function for work. You know, I mean, I may now take a break in the middle of the day, but now yesterday I was probably doing emails till midnight. You know, because it's just one of these things. But I'm taking breaks to watch a little bit of TV, and then hooking up my new Fire Stick to replace my old Fire Stick that apparently was out of date, and so Amazon told me so.
Yeah,
and told me I had to get a new one.
You had to upgrade. Yep.
Yeah, you know, so you know, watching reruns of 30 Rock.
Okay.
Yes.
Yes.
Anytime you get a
love
little,
me some Lisa Faye and
Tina Faye, Alec Baldwin, and Tracy Morgan.
Uh huh. Oh, excuse me, Tina Faye. Excuse me,
Tina Faye.
Yeah,
and yes.
Tracy Morgan. Yeah.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes. Anytime you get any of that. And then watching a Jay Moore comedy special.
Okay.
Where he reimagines Tracy Morgan when he first met him. Very funny. But anyways, yeah, that's talking about going back to campus, everyone. Let's hope sooner than later.
Yes.
Let's hope that we get through this. You know, the other big thing that's been going on over the last, you know, since like April or May, we've been spending like crazy that emergency grant money, the CARES or HERF money, Higher Education Emergency Relief Fund, as they call it, because some of that money was meant directly for students, and we got rid of that right away, 50% of the total.
Mm-hmm.
The campuses had, so most campuses, I think, at least community colleges that I've talked to, went about, you know, just dividing up the money among the eligible students back in the spring of 2020. And the reason for that is because, you know, you have to look resource-wise. As wonderfully, as great it would be to be effective with our funds as far as, you know, Dana comes and sees me as a student, has a high need for something like, again, transportation or whatever, and I give her the appropriate funds, that means I have to have an application, a process, and a review process and a way to get the money out. And you know, I'm not a big four-year university with a staff of 60 to 70 people in financial aid. It's a little tough. So we certainly did do some of that. But how have things been looking on your end when you talk to students? Are they getting money? Are they getting what they need?
I can always say, especially because of the situation that we're in right now, I think they can use a little bit more, especially in the conversations sure. that I have. But for the most part, I mean, I think what is available, they're able, you know, to tap into it. But I think we can do a little bit more effort in helping them understand what is available, if that makes sense, Dennis. Like,
no, that I understand because, yeah, it you know, once you got past the point of we're sending you money.
Right.
And then it's like now you have to apply for money. And
yes,
is it money or a computer? Or grocery card, gift card, like kind of thing.
Right, And then we have like several food insecurity scholarships, I believe, through ASO, through our ASO. So, yeah. So if all that information was maybe like centralized, I think it would be more helpful.
Yeah, kind of the growing pains of when you have a new like aid program and there's no one particular person over it because this isn't financial aid per se. You know, it's been a little spread, and I know other campuses are doing the same thing. You know, so that'd be a interesting thing to find out from others at other campuses. How efficient versus effective have they been in utilizing and getting funds out there? Because in our pre-show talk, you know, it brings me back to I had a graduate class in my guidance and counseling that we had to take one in public administration. And so our class, one of the first things the professor talked about was, is it better to be efficient or better to be effective? And I remember one of the students chimed in, efficient, because you want to be efficient in how you either utilize the dollars that have been given to you, the manpower you have at hand, et cetera. And then I answered, well, I understand that because obviously you want to be efficient to some level. But I said, but unless you're effective, you're really not getting across and utilizing whatever resource it is using it well. I was going to say effectively, but duh. The word really is using it well. You know, if I have to be effective in the dollars that come in. And I think with these emergency grants, that's really hopefully what we're trying to be. Mm-hmm. It's hard, you know, it would be great to do it on a one-on-one basis and assess students exactly for what they want and need, especially in considering that we are colleges, in keeping those students enrolled and keeping them on track. But it's tough. You know, it's tough to do that because there's only so many people in an office that,
right.
You know, it's like, can everyone be a counselor and be on the same page? Mm-hmm. You know, it's the same thing. It's a tough way to go about it. But yeah, it is one of those topics that's out there. And hopefully maybe over the next few weeks, Dana, what we'll do is I can get some of our counterparts from other campuses to talk about how they've done, and maybe if there's some great ideas out there,
floating
around, we'll get an idea of how they're handling things and working through all of this. But Dana, I think we're at that point of the show. Let's take a little musical break, and then we'll break in some new topics here.
And welcome back for our second cup segment on the What's Brewing CISPA show.
Yeah, it's time for a little bit of refill there.
Yes, What are you drinking this morning?
Raspberry tea.
Oh, awesome.
Cold, the cold kind that's been sweetened for me.
Mm-hmm.
Without being too sweet.
Okay.
But I needed something with a little bit of sugar in it. Mm-hmm. And it says here, flavor with other natural flavors. As opposed to raspberry? I mean, now it makes me try to. It's one thing to say it's raspberry tea and it's other flavors, but maybe. It does say natural flavor on the ingredients.
And like you said, what are those other quotation marks?
I don't know. And 0 grams of protein. Who could have guessed? I wasn't expecting any protein in my tea anyways.
In your tea drink?
No. Well, there's a couple things we can preview today in our second cup here. I can preview that we have, starting next week, a 2-day quarterly CISPA executive board meeting, which also means that now that's usually day 2 of the meeting. Day 1 of the meeting is usually the California Community Colleges Chancellor's Office. That's the state system office. They have what they call their FAR meeting, or Financial Aid Regional Rep meeting. And so the regional reps are part of the executive board of CISPA. You know, we have one per region, and there's 10 regions across the state. L.A. County is mostly Region 7. The schools in Orange County are Region 8. At the top of the state is Region 1. At the bottom of the state, down in San Diego land, is Region 10. And so all 115 colleges are spread out among the regions. We have reps. And so the first day is mostly informational from Chancellor's Office people. And, you know, whenever there's need for consultation on something new, whether it be a rule or regulation or an idea of something that the state wants to do, they, in a sense, consult with our regional reps. And the fact that all the other exec board members from CISPA are also there on Monday, too, we can always fill in with other thoughts on what's going on. So this is something, Dana, I'm going to need to have you get involved with, you know.
Oh, boy.
You know, beyond this. Because if you didn't know, you are part of our communications committee. I have you on that.
And, okay.
As you are, as a podcast is kind of a part of that whole thing. But luckily, we have a communications chair that handles most of the detail work. Like when I shoot an email off on a Sunday nights saying, hey, this is what happened over the last week. Why don't you put out this in our next email to our membership called The Buzz? Mm-hmm. He puts all that together for us, and he's working on stuff for the conference too. So
awesome.
So that's kind of the preview, you know, the preview of other things coming up for that meeting. We'll be talking about, there was some money created by the state in the last maybe 3 or 4 months to fund for AB 540 students, Because, you know, back when CARES funding first came out, our undocumented students were not eligible for CARES funds. Mm-hmm. And then a number of states sued. California was one of them to change that interpretation. And it did come along at some point along the way. There was a legal injunction or whatever. And the reality is I'm sure the department dropped it at some point just because it was more headache than it's worth. And so they were eligible then at some point for CARES funds. But then the state, using funds that were set aside for some other things, created their own funding for emergency grants. And so that kind of reporting and usage, we're going to be talking about at the exec board meeting because there's a need for the state to get an idea how well schools are doing so far. Most schools haven't dispersed or they've dispersed some of it. It wasn't a whole lot of money, but it was, you know, all based upon how many AB 540 students you had on your campus. I think we got about 100,000 maybe.
Okay.
You know, and once we take out my fees, you know, there's not a whole lot left. Yeah, there's never that kind of money that comes along ever.
No, sir.
No, never.
Dennis, I don't want to go to jail.
No, I know. Neither do I. We're going to get all that money out to the students one way or another. The other thing we'll be talking about, obviously, on the federal front, now that the federal government signed off on their Consolidated Appropriations Act, which is their way of, it's like an omnibus bill. It's where you roll everything together to save time and you take care of spending for all the departments and all that. And instead of like what they keep telling us to all do, create your budget, live by your budget. The federal government does the opposite, which is we wait till the last day that we run out of money. And then we all run frantically to sign off on the first bill we can. But wrapped up in there was, obviously we have new emergency funding came alongside that. FAFSA simplification we talked about and we'll talk about in the future. All that's coming down the line. And we'll be talking about that at our exec board meeting. And then lastly, I just want to touch on, you know, we are going to be, of course, doing our CSFA conference this year. First week of March, there will be information going out probably next week from the association on registration. It's a little later than I wanted it to be, but at the same time, nobody has to make travel plans. Isn't that nice, Dana?
That is awesome.
Probably the best thing about this conference will be, you know, the travel plans will be easy.
Yes.
Find a comfortable spot in front of your computer. And
I was going to say either to your couch or to your desk.
Exactly.
Maybe even to your bed or outside on your patio. Yeah,
wherever you want to do it. You know, I've taken the computer a number of places as I can. But yeah, I guess to run through a little preview. I mean, we've already got a lot of the speakers already booked. We've got sessions coming from the federal government on verification, a federal update, understanding your SAP policy, that's satisfactory academic progress.
Are you going to do that one?
No, these are all going to be done by someone from the Department of Education.
Okay, gotcha.
Understanding ads, drops, and withdrawals, that's always a complicated process. Also, R2, T4, and modules. We don't do a lot of modules at our school, but more schools do. That's where, like, you have Class A is the first 8 weeks and Class B, and you can only take Class B if you pass Class A.
Oh, boy.
It's the second 8 weeks of a semester. If you drop out during one, does it affect aid for the other? All that stuff. The feds are going to be talking on that. We've got our people from the Student Aid Commission coming in, too. They're going to cover, of course, you know, stuff on Chafee Grant and Cal Grant B for foster youth. The CADA, the California Dream Act application, as we call it. And then also California non-resident tuition exemptions. Because they're kind of related. It's always one of those things that I always get a little complicated on trying to understand. Mm-hmm. They're going to do a Cal Grant 101. And also navigating web grants. And web grants, it's slowly getting improved, right?
You know, and maybe you can ask your connections. Uh-huh. I had heard a couple of years ago at one of the conferences that they were supposed to do a major upgrade.
They are. It's mostly on the student side at this point. It's a grant delivery system modification or project. And so they have been working on it, and it's a lot of behind the scenes stuff.
Gotcha.
To then make the front of the scene look better. And so I think the timeline is actually this year for us to finally see it on our end.
Oh, okay.
So we'll stop seeing that, what looks more like a very clunky website from the late 90s.
Look like Space Invaders, Tetris type of.
Exactly. But the the students are seeing a much better interface.
Yeah, on the student end, yeah, it does. It looks a lot better.
Yeah, so that will definitely.
Interface is a lot better, too.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Uh-huh. And then we have someone from NASA coming to do a number of sessions, too. We've got a lot of our presenters already among our exec board members and others at community colleges to talk about federal issues, state issues, professional judgment, scholarships, and Prop 209. You know, this is the woman who's presenting. This is the one that came out to our campus. And she works over there in Mount
from,
Sac.
Mount Sac, yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Trying to understand, again, you know, we all would love to do a scholarship that's very specific for a very specific population. But because we're state institutions, we have to, you know, really be careful about the line of discrimination, not discriminating against others. And so that's why her session is always super, super important. And I've got her to say yes. So we'll have her out. And then the last one here on the list, how to make better presentations and be a better presenter. Who's doing that one? Oh, that's me. I'll be doing my session as I did for CASA.
Dennis, I knew you were going to squeeze yourself in there somewhere.
We do need to fill some more slots. So, Dana, if you'd like to present on something, we've got open spots for you. So,
I would like to present on how we can generate special funding for our campus.
I like that idea, Dana.
Dennis.
We have to be careful.
That might not end well.
Exactly. Well, let's take another little musical interlude before we get ourselves in trouble, and let's then move ourselves into our last segment. And just like that, Dana, we're back, even after our new music plays itself out, for our last sip segment. All right. So, in our last sip segment, Dana, you have any I Dare You To selections for our wonderful audience?
Not yet, but I am working on some stuff. So,
okay,
hopefully soon I'll have some good some good choices for you guys.
Wonderful. I have a long distance dedication here from a listener from the show, a non-financial aid friend of mine, Mikey K. He suggests we listen to... it's a new album by Neil Schon.
Okay.
I don't know if you know who Neil Schon is.
No, I'm not familiar. What genre is this?
Rock and roll, mostly.
Okay.
He played with Santana when he was like a teenager.
All right.
Guitar. And then he was the lead guitarist for the band Journey.
Okay.
So you should see him. He's a very interesting character. Obviously, you know, rock and roll dude that. But... see some pictures of him from like his days in Santana.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to.
He's got the big
Google
hair
that.
Thing going
yeah,
on.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
But he's a great guitarist, and he has, as far as I understand, it's an instrumental album called Universal. That's his new album out there, and you should go listen to that. So that's an I Dare You To from a friend. I will throw out I Dare You To of my own. I've been switching up the podcasts I listen to. And one of them I found, and it's interesting, it's called Smartless. If anything, you should listen to the opening show because they have their own little theme song that they created on a little keyboard, a little electric keyboard. But cool. Smartless, again, you would only have this during COVID time when people are not doing their regular stuff, but it is hosted by Jason Bateman, actor-director, Sean Hayes, actor, and Will Arnett. Actor, maybe director, I don't know. The three of them co-host. And what it is like one of them invites an unknown guest. I mean, they're known. They're famous people who the other two may not know that well. So it's kind of like an interesting conversation about, oh, yeah, I'm a fan of, but, you know, I've never really met you. And so I've listened to like Ron Howard was one of their guests.
Oh, nice.
Ricky Gervais. Again, one of them knows him really well and the other two don't quite know him. I'm trying to think who else was the last one other than that, but those are the two that I've listened through all the way. And, it's got some very interesting thing because I'll say, I always kind of like Will Arnett to me, at least when he acts, you know, it wasn't always one of my favorite things, but then he did like the Lego TV show, right? The Lego Building Masters. And, you know, it's a really a great combination, these three guys, because obviously they get along really, really well. Mm-hmm. And they do a real good job of interviewing these people. So
I'll definitely throw that out there. And that just sounds fun. Just seeing their names together, it just sounds like a fun.
Yeah, it's very fun. Yeah. It's not, what I can't stand too much is people being like snarky, satirical and all that, when I really just want to hear some interview. And they're very good at towing that line. Well, you know, I mean, some people aim a little too hard to try to be funny. And they don't have to, because they're all just funny on their own, but they're also serious about, you know, learning about the craft or about how Ron Howard, you know, started as a child actor, which Jason Bateman was able to relate to very well, because, you know, he's been on TV also since forever.
Forever, yeah. Yeah, no, seriously, though, yeah.
But, yeah, I guess probably one of the better podcasts out there as far as I can tell. So, you know, check it out. Smartless. One word. I know it's a weird word, you know, things, right? But definitely worth it. And then who knows? Maybe I'll have another podcast next week as I just keep adding to my list of podcasts. But Dana, I think that's about all we have time for today. But of course, we have more episodes starting next week and continuing on until we hit number 100 or 1,000. We'll stop at some point, right? So I want to thank my co-host Dana for joining us today on What's Brewing CISFA, and thank you, our audience, for tuning in.
Hey everyone, remember to check out the CISFA website at CISFA.org. That's CCCSFAAA.org. And if you have something to say or you have topics you want us to discuss, email us at wbcisfa@gmail.com.
For this and all What's Brewing CISFA podcasts, find our feed through Google Podcasts at podcasts.google.com. Or for those using Apple devices, open your podcast app. To find us, just search for CISFA. You can also find our episodes at wbcisfa.podbean.com. That's pod and bean is one word. And you can find us on Spotify and Pandora and iHeartRadio. And now you can listen to us through the TuneIn app on your Amazon Echo using Alexa.
What's Brewing CISFA is a production of Studio 1051, a creative collaboration of Dennis and myself.
This has been episode number 53, recorded the morning of Friday, January 8th, 2021.
Everyone, have a great day.
And have a great weekend. Bye, everyone.
Bye.